Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's Word. And today is Old Testament Friday. We are back to our normal. We will be in 2 Chronicles, starting at chapter 9. And the word that God gave me this morning was, we all need to seek godly King Solomon wisdom. Whew! Again, we all need to seek godly King Solomon wisdom. So many times we forget to seek wisdom. We got to seek wisdom this morning. We got to seek some time with God. And asking God, Lord, guide me and lead me and show me the way. You know, we don't need all the time. We got more stuff than we could ever use. It's time to go get some stuff out your house. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. We got to get some stuff out. It's time to get rid of some stuff that's in the mind, stuff that's in the heart, stuff that's in your house, just stuff in general. Because we got to have a minimization going on in our lives, minimizing the world and increasing God. You know, I thank God for this day because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't get an opportunity for another day. Somebody didn't make it. Song says millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones that did. We got to be grateful for every day. So, Father God, this morning I say, Lord, as I say every day, I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed that you gave me another day. Father God in heaven, we come this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thanking you, Lord, that you have given us another day to praise, another day to look up, another day to say thank you, Lord, for the grace and the mercy that only you can give through your Son. Father God, we ask that the Holy Spirit rains down this morning, that the Holy Spirit changes the atmosphere in our homes, in our cars, in our offices, in wherever we are on our phones. Lord God, let our atmosphere change to an atmosphere of listening, of learning, of asking for godly wisdom. Father God, show us the way your light shines upon us, that we don't fall into the abyss of darkness, Father God. Father God, as we go through this word today, let it permeate a heart, a mind, and a spirit. Because, Lord God, wisdom goes farther than all the gold and silver and things of this world. Because wisdom goes with us when we leave. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for the sick and the shut in. I pray for our children this morning, lifting them up. And Lord God, I lift up the 2-year-old baby left without parents, parents that gave their life for their son. Hallelujah. Parents that gave their life for their son. I pray, Lord God, that they are with you, for your word tells us absence from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So, Father God, I pray that this couple who gave their life for their son, you, Father God. And, Lord God, I ask your blessings upon blessings to watch over this baby, Lord God, that there be no one trying to exploit him or to try to take him from his parents, his grandparents. Lord God, let them wrap him in their loving arms. And Father God, we pray his spirit rest in peace. And all those that were senselessly murdered on July 4th in my state, I pray, God, that you give their spirits peaceful rest and their families peaceful rest. And Lord God, I pray for the family of the shooter, this young man who obviously has issues. And that issue is from demonic spirits. And Lord God, I pray that you give this child clarity of mind as you remove every spirit from him to show him what he has done in the spirit. But it was not a fight of flesh and blood, but it was a fight of spirit. The enemy was busy, and he's been busy for a minute. But we know, Lord, that in the end, he's going to lose, and you will win. So, Father God, again, I lift up this word to you this morning, asking you, Lord God, as I ask every day, for you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength. You are my strength, Father God. Are my strength, and you are my redeemer. Lord God, cover me in the blood of Jesus, and let this word that goes forth permeate the atmosphere, Lord God. Let it hit the airways that someone who's just looking for a word finds it, and it touches their heart. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, which leads and guides me. In Jesus' name again, I pray. Amen. I'm having a great day already. I fell asleep last night, hallelujah, listening to the word of God, and it was good. It was good. It was real good. You know, unfortunately, I took my ink pen out and didn't get to take some notes. But God was probably saying, go back to sleep. I fell asleep and woke up with the word of God. And so I'm thankful because God's word is just in my spirit. Even if I didn't hear everything, it went into my subconscious. So I'm thankful for that. So shout out to the pastor. I believe it's First Baptist Church of God in Christ, I thought is what it said. But he was really good speaking on the full armor of God. And he was talking, coming out of Ephesians chapter 6. We will eventually get to. But today we are coming out of the Chronicles. Hallelujah. We are in Chronicles today. We're going to talk about that beautiful queen, that queen of Sheba, who was all that and a bag of chips. Can we say it? She was beautiful. She was wealthy. She had it going on, and she was not seeking anything but wisdom. She wanted to know, is this king that I've been hearing about, everything that everybody's saying, they're saying he's got all this wisdom, they're saying he's got all this wealth, they're saying he's just all that. I just kind of want to meet this man. I want to meet him. And that was her goal, to meet King Solomon, to see what he was about, because she was a queen and he was a king. And she wanted to gain godly wisdom. She wanted to see what was going on in Jerusalem. Who was this guy that everybody's talking about? Who is he? You know, you have that who is he moment in your life because you hear all of a sudden the buzz about something or somebody, and you want to know what they're talking about. I remember over the pandemic, hearing somebody, one of my kids actually in church, talking about TikTok. I'm like, what in the world is a TikTok? Had no idea. And then all of a sudden, I went and looked. And it's all these people dancing. And I'm like, OK. Okay. What in the world is this? So, we all have curiosity. And the Queen of Sheba was curious. She wanted to go meet a man. And she wanted to know who he was, what he was about. And she wanted to know about his God. It wasn't just about his stuff. It was about his God. She wanted to know who he was praying to, who he was listening to, what was the deal with this guy. She was looking to seek wisdom herself. And we have to look to seek wisdom ourselves. So let's go into the Word of God and see what we find out, because that's how we gain it, is through God's Word, wisdom, understanding. Let's lift up the name of Jesus today, and let's believe for our good, because why? We trust in the Lord with godly Solomon wisdom. And it says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And it says, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the servants of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men and happy are these servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God, because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon who brought gold from Ophir brought alum wood and precious stones. And the king made walkways of the alum wood for the house of the Lord, for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments, for singers, and there was none such as these seen before in the land of Judah. Now King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, and she and her servants. And you know, and I know that history says that what she wanted was his baby, and he gave it to her. And she took her pregnancy and went home and had progeny from King Solomon, Israel today, the descendants of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And as we go back into our life lesson, we will have a life example from this word as we go through it. We'll come back to the life example after we finish chapter 9 and before we go into chapter 10. Because chapter 10 takes over with a new king. And let's just say he is not Solomon. But we'll get into that in just a minute. And so it says, so she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was traveling merchants and the traders brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps with a footstool of gold, which was fastened to the throne. There were armrests on each side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this has been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold, not one in the days of Solomon. But the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Haran. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. He had godly wisdom. It wasn't Solomon wisdom. It was godly King Solomon wisdom. That's what we seek. That's what we need, godly wisdom. Because godly wisdom will keep you from making ugly mistakes, devil mistakes. We got to stop allowing the enemy to get in our head. We got to say, not today, Satan. Not today. Not today. I am putting on my full armor of God. Hallelujah. Because understand, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting those high demons, the principalities, because that's what the word of God tells us. We are fighting the imps of darkness, those doggone demonic spirits, just fighting. We got to fight. That's why you got to have wisdom to know when to fight and when to walk away and know that your back is covered by God. Hallelujah. As we came into my heart this morning, probably because it's in my subconscious from my sermon from last night and early this morning. And it goes on to say, and all the kings, not some kings, but all of the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. Each man brought his presence, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules at a set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls of horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot city and with the king at Jerusalem. So he reigned over all the kings from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made in the lowlands. And they brought horses to Solomon from Egypt and from all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan, the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah and Selonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer, concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. So he reigned 40 years just like David did. So 80 years Israel had Solomon and David. David and Solomon, let me put it in the correct order. So David reigned 40 years and Solomon reigned 40 years. And it says, and then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. And let's call it straight. Rehoboam was a privileged little brat. I'm calling him like he was. A privileged little brat who had no understanding of being a king. He was not prepared. And he didn't want to listen to wisdom. He did not want to listen to the wisdom of his elders. He didn't want to listen to those that had experience. Instead, he wanted to listen to his peers who were just as privileged as he was, who was just as bratty as he was, who did not understand you are about to mess up what your grandfather created through the word of God, what your dad did, about to mess up the kingdom that God created. You're about to mess up, little boy, thinking you're grown when you needed the iron sharpening your iron. But instead, you had a Potiphar, which was your friend. You had no clue, no clue whatsoever of how to treat people, because they had always had and everybody had always done for them that they had no idea how to be kind. Going to that, but first let's go back to life example from this chapter we just read, which was chapter 9. So the life lesson is this: happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Perhaps Solomon listened too eagerly to glowing declarations of his great wisdom. He knew he had received this gift from God, yet we have no record that he reminded the queen of that fact. And as we continue, it says, a life example, King Solomon, we all need God's wisdom. And it says this: when God invited Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, the king requested wisdom. 1 Kings 3:9. That God given wisdom taught Solomon that only a fool tries to solve life's problems without God's help. Come on now. Anytime we spend wondering about how to get out of a touchy situation, it's time wasted. God's guidance is more than sufficient for all the tests or trials we might have to face. But to benefit from it, we have to seek it out, just as Solomon did so long ago. In this life, tests come in all shapes and sizes in the middle of a rainy afternoon. Some tests require us to endure. Others ask us to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. We got to ask God how we make the right decisions, how we do what we need to do, how we go forth in what we need to go forth in. We got to trust God, and we got to ask for what? Wisdom. And he goes on to tell us, in this life test comes all shapes and sizes. We all have gotten and gone through the test. And from your test, your testimony came. From your test, you had testimonies. Hallelujah. But to benefit from it all, we have to ask, have to seek it out, just as Solomon did so long ago. And I'm going to read that one more time because I want to make sure that it comes forth. So that any time we spend wondering about how to get out of a touchy situation, it's time wasted. We always wonder, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Okay, let me make my list. I'm going to get this done, that done. I'm going to do this, and I need a minute. And your mind is going every which way, when all you needed to do was say, God, show me what to do. God's guidance is more than sufficient for all the tests or trials we might have to face. But to benefit from it, We have to seek it out, just as Solomon did so long ago. In this life, tests come in all shapes and sizes. Some we anticipate, others blindside us. In the middle of a rainy afternoon, some tests require us to endure. Others ask us to make the right decision immediately. Regardless of the package in which the test comes, God instructs us to come to him for the wisdom we so desperately need. Woo, hallelujah. Are you seeking godly wisdom this morning? Are you seeking godly wisdom today? Are you seeking God today? God is in charge of everything. And we got to seek him. Seek him. We got to seek God. Because God is in charge of everything. And we got to seek his face. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God this morning. Thanking him for this word today. Thanking him for his love today. And for those that are listening in on social media this morning, the number to call if you want to call in on the live line is 213-943-3597 is our call-in number. And as we continue in our word, now we're getting ready to get into Rehoboam. And let's see what it says here. It says, at Rehoboam, chapter 10 of Second Chronicles. And it says, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard that he was in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, that Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent for him and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke put on us, and we will serve you. That's not a lot to ask for. Because, understand, God took the yoke from them. God set them free when he took them out of Egypt, didn't he? And he loves us so much that he wants the best for us. We are God's sons and daughters. And this young man came in the right way. He came to Rehoboam in the right way, saying, can you make our burdens a little lighter? But let's see what happens. Because sometimes folks listen to everybody but God. They listen to folks that don't know any more than they do, when we should be listening to the wisdom of our elders. And so let's see what happens. We've read this already, I know, in 2 Kings, but we're coming to it again. And it goes on to say, so he said to them, come back to me after 3 days. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. Wisdom. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people to enlighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us, that you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I was chasing you with scourges. which is whipped with nails and knives and things to cut you up. This little boy has no doggone clue. None at all. Listen to his peers who don't have a clue either. And that's what happens so many times. Our young people listen to their peers instead of listening to the adults in their life. And they wonder why the mistakes they make can be so devastating. This young man had all the wisdom of Solomon's advisors. Because understand, they gained wisdom, godly wisdom, from being with him. Some were prophets even. And they were trying to tell this young man, don't mess up. But he wasn't going to listen. He was listening to his peers. Privileged children. They were privileged, had no clue on how to treat people. Because they had always been treated like kings and queens, princes. They were all princes. They were all from royal families. They were all up there in affluence. And they didn't know how to act. And so he went to his peers, and he was trying to make himself bigger and badder than his dad. Because he knew his dad had the wisdom from God, and he wanted to try to say, I'm better than him. I'm tougher than him. I know more than him, when he didn't know anything. And we see this today. Privileged children acting ugly. And then some are good and kind, like a Josiah. But this was not a Josiah. This was a beginning of the Ahabs coming down the road. Even though Ahab was not Judah, but we still understand. These are some crazy times about to start. You got to be careful who is in charge of your leadership. And it says, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Answered them roughly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scratches. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from God, that the Lord might fulfill his words when he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tent, O Israel, and see to your own house, O David. So all Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Jeroboam, who was in charge of revenue. But the children of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. That's how it split, because of a hard-headed child not understanding the wisdom that his daddy had, not wanting to look at anything and listen to those that could help him. God understands and knows, and he wants to love on us. We all need to seek godly King Solomon wisdom. Unfortunately, Rehoboam did not do that. Even though God placed him wisdom in his house with the elders, he wouldn't listen. But again, sometimes when we think our kids are being rebellious, it's because God is doing some testing. And God was fulfilling a prophetic word in this situation. It had to go down this way. And we wonder sometimes why things are happening. It's because they have to go that way. Because it's for a purpose and a reason. And God, sometimes that purpose and the reason is to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to give us what we need to do what we need to do for God. So let's continue in chapter 11 of Second Chronicles. It says, now when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled from the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, say, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brothers. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. So Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities in Judah, and he built Bethlehem, Etham, Tekoah, Beth, Zor, Sekhot, Adullam, Gath, Merishai, Zephah, Ordurim, Lashish, Azekai, Zorah, Ajalon, and Heberon, which are in Judah, and Benjamin fortified cities. And he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them, and stores of food, oil, and wine. Also in every city he put shields and spears and made them very strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with them. For the Levites left their common land and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, to Jeroboam, and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high places for the demons and the calf idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years because, get this page turned. There is nothing like the page turning of a Bible. Walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took for himself. Here we go. This is where it all starts with these women. Solomon messed up with the women, and now Rehoboam is about to mess up with women. Then Rehoboam took for himself as wife Mahai, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abihail, the daughter of Elijah, the son of Jesse. And she bore him children, Jeshub, Shemaiah, and Zaham. After her, he took Micaiah, the granddaughter of Absalom, and she bore him Abijah, Atai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Now Rehoboam loved Micaiah, the granddaughter of Absalom, more than all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Micaiah, as chief, to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. He dealt wisely and dispersed some of his sons throughout all the territories of Judah and Benjamin to every fortified city, and he gave them provisions in abundance. He also sought many wives for them. Let's keep it moving, y'all. Again, a good word. So let's go back before we go into our next chapter, which is chapter 12. In chapter 11, the life lesson, it says, you shall not go up to fight against your brothers, but this thing is from me. King Rehoboam wanted to reunite the divided kingdom by the sword, but the prophet Shemaiah was sent to prevent him from proceeding. Why? Because God allowed the division of the kingdom to correct Rehoboam's cruelty and greed. Sometimes we'll want to fight against the discipline the Lord sends. Come on now. We all do it. However, we should accept it. The more quickly we acknowledge God's rebuke, the faster he can set us back on the right track. 2 Chronicles 11:15, he appointed for himself priests for the high places, for the demons and the calf idols which he had made. This is one of the few places in the Bible where we learn that pagan worship actually honors demons. Did y'all catch that? See Deuteronomy 32:17, Psalms 106:37, First Corinthians 10:20. We are to worship God alone. That's why we seek godly wisdom. We seek godly wisdom so we don't accidentally worship demons, not understanding what's going on. You can't be doing what everybody else is doing because you don't know what you might be opening doors to. We got to be careful as men and women of God and seek his wisdom. And as we continue in chapter 12, and in chapter 12 it says, now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. With 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen and people without number who came with him out of Egypt, the Lubim and the Sikkim and the Ethiopians, and he took the 45 cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah, the prophet, came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdoms of the nations. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back into the guard room. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. So he wasn't young. I thought he was a youngster by the way he was acting, but that he was not. He was 41 years old. So he should have had some of his father's wisdom by 41, but he didn't. Listen to his kids. You know, so I learned as you learned. You know, he was not a child. He was a grown man who should have known the difference between acting like a childish brat instead of acting like a grown man. Again, still privileged. And when he became king, he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonite, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Edo, the seer concerning genealogies? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his father and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah, his son, reigned in his place. But let's go over to this life lesson. And it says this, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom, He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. He took the kingdom with him. If we should grow strong and prosperous, we must beware the temptation to attribute our prosperity to our own ingenuity. That's so true. Deuteronomy 8:17-18. God alone prospers us. We got to remember that. That comes from wisdom, godly wisdom, to know you have nothing without God. We never outgrow our need for him. We never outgrow our need for God. Nothing you got came from you. Nothing you got came from your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, your husband, your wife, your cousins, and your friends. It all came from God. And it says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 17, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. In his grace, the Lord granted some deliverance to the disobedient leaders of Israel who humbled themselves, but he still let them taste the serious consequences of their rebellion. And what did they lose? Everything. All the gold and the stuff that Solomon had put in place, gone to Egypt. Gone to Egypt because of a hard-headed young man, 41 years old, with no wisdom or common sense. And let's keep it moving because, again, he reigned 18 years. And it says that in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Geba. And let's keep it going. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemarim, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Naboth, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then the worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as God. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the people of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not God's? But for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duty. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstand of gold with its lamps, to burn every evening command of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with surrounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them, so that they went in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel they are slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with his villages, Taniah with his villages, and Ephraim with his villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways and his things, are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place in his days, and the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, but he removed the altars of the foreign gods, the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built 45 cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marashai. So Asa went out against them, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Marashai. And Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. And we ask for, we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. So do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued him. So the Ethiopians were overthrown. And they could not recover. But they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plunged all the cities. They plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosure and carried off sheep and camels in abundance, and return to Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. But this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. Woo, what a word today. And that, I'm sorry, that last section starting at verse number 2. Actually, that was part of Psalms. But we ended at Jerusalem for our second King's word. And we're going to go back and do a couple of life lessons before we get a word from our sister in Christ this morning. In the life lesson from chapter 13, which is, the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. The people of Judah prevailed despite clever military tactics by the enemy. Only one reason. They relied on the Lord. As children of the sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. No one who opposes the Lord and his kingdom will ultimately prevail. God rules over all, and he knows how to deliver his people. Can y'all say praise the Lord this morning? In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. It is impossible to obey God without first seeking him. We must seek him first, appreciate his strength, and then obey his commands by power of his spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:11, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. Can we all say together, there's nothing too hard for our God. What looks daunting and even impossible to us is precisely nothing to the Lord. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And that is our word today. We have read 2 Chronicles starting at chapter 9 tonight to the first to chapter 14. And it has been a good word. So it just goes to show there were some good kings in Israel after Solomon. Rehoboam messed up, but his son and grandson did what was right in God's sight. And that was why they had rest, because they sought godly wisdom. They sought the Lord, and he answered their prayers. And we need to seek God today so he answers our prayers. All things are possible with our Father God. So let's go back to our word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here this morning. And our word from Sister Carolyn today is not here yet, but I will give yesterday's word again. And it is just this. When God decides to bless you, he will cause situations to come together in your favor, no matter what others try to do. And that's what happened today in our word. God came together for his boys. He came together for David's descendants. He came together to keep Abijah from falling to Jeroboam, to keep Abijah from falling to the Ethiopians. He watched over this young man and his kingdom. God watches over you too. So today, whenever you seek godly wisdom. Seek the Lord and watch him work in your life. Watch him work in everything that you do. Watch God work today and keep him first in everything. We're going to go a little bit over this morning as I read our prayer for today to end our word. And the prayer for this morning is not defeated. Ooh, what a word right on time. Every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. 1 John 5:4. And for those that have to leave right at 8, may the Lord watch between me and you while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. It's time to go to work. Yes, it is. And no, you are not defeated. And as our prayer for this morning goes and our word of thought, it says it's not defeated. Every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith, 1 John 5:4, NLT. Great King, just when I thought I was down and out, when the walls of darkness had closed in, I thought they would crush me. You showed up with your strong hand of mercy to save me. I am not a victim to the world or its ways. I am not doomed to be struck under another thumb all the days of my life. I am free in you. Jesus, it is in that freedom I find my victory as your child, and my inheritance is bigger than my current circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. When you shine your light on me. I can see with eyes of faith the better path you have laid out. I don't have to walk in the ways of this world that lead to death. I will walk with you on the pathway of peace. In choosing to walk in your example of love, I become an overcomer. Thank you, Father, for the different tactics you take that are unlike the world and its ways. Your standard is better. And the question for this weekend is this. What area of feeling defeated can you invite the Lord into today? Whew. Father God, we thank you for this mighty word this morning. And we lift up the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for giving us insight that all things work for our good when we trust in you. So, Father God, I lift up this word. I lift up everyone who listened today for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness. And above all, I thank you, Lord God, for your love. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all is well when we seek your wisdom, godly wisdom, that King Solomon wisdom that takes us where we need to go. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, that's all we got today. I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed that God gave us a good word, and I learned a lot this morning. I learned a whole lot this morning, so I am grateful. We learned together today as we study Second Chronicles. Have a great day, family. If you'd like to read the word again, we were in Second Chronicles chapter 9 through chapter 14. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.